But anyway, eventually this virus has to make its way into our oral airway, this oral airway. Okay? Because, and it's a weird, like sometimes we learn anatomy or know about it, but we just don't make the connection. Give me an amen if you've ever studied anatomy, but somehow it just doesn't connect, right? So our mucous membranes, our trachea, our nasal passages, our sinuses all come together in our mouths, goes down our throats, our scrawny chicken neck throats here.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful, Charlie. Speaking as you do to all the chickens out there, Bill Bailey, out on Old
I
Oildale
was
Road.
working with chickens.
You were, huh?
I was a cock teaser at Roosterama.
Oh, really?
I used to enrage the bantams
Oh,
before
yeah.
the big bouts.
Yeah, right. That's
Not an easy thing. Ask Pedro here.
Yeah, right.
What?
Pedro, you used to work down there,
Yeah,
Roosterama.
sure, man. You are the best cock
How did you
teaser.
Enrage those little buggers?
I used to sit on them, man.
See, man, that's
I would
hard.
Dress up like a big egg, man, and then I would sit on them, and that freaks them out.
Those chickens are really confused.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
They get mad and angry into the cockpit. What a fight!
Play the bloodstained banner, play murder most foul.
And then there's two tubes. One is our esophagus, where our food goes, and one's our trachea.
Yes, this is going to be another exciting mission, Chucko. We'll be going to the haunted space station for further instructions.
You'll need a crowbar, a crew mark.
Right. I need some brave boys and girls who aren't afraid to live outside the law of gravity. Families who like to sleep in tubes and push buttons. Adventurers like you.
The Commander-in-Chief answers him while chasing a fly, saying death to all those who would whimper and cry. And dropping a barbell, he points to the sky, saying the sun's not yellow, it's chicken.
Good morning, and welcome to the Sunday edition for March 15th, 2020. I'm Michael Enright. Midway through my flight from the island on Monday, I asked the attendant for a Corona beer. She gave me a look, then whispered, "Not so loud." And then she smiled in a just-kidding sort of way. Not a whole lot to kid about, though. It recalls the early days after 9/11, when the comic's question became, "When can we be funny again? When can we laugh again?" The monkey mind gets to dancing, even at 35,000 feet. Did we wash our hands thoroughly in the crowded airport? Did somebody sneeze in the breakfast room this morning? Will I need to get some kind of test done in the next few days? The tickle of fear we all experience comes with its own unique and unsettling vocabulary. COVID-19, pandemic, social distancing, R0 number, coronavirus. Everything familiar becomes upended. Every activity that we are comfortable with becomes alien to us and a potential threat. At some point, the fears become panic and migrate over to paranoia. We try to allay our concerns with canned peaches and toilet paper. It is the random inconsistency of the thing. It is nowhere and everywhere. We are all vulnerable, some more than others, but nobody is really outside the contracting zone, not even a prime minister's wife. From the blizzard of reports, here is what we know. Essentially, nothing. We don't know how many people have the virus or how many will get it. We don't know if hospital resources, human and mechanical, are sufficient to the challenge of a wild outbreak. Nor do we know how the most vulnerable among us will cope, the old, the frail, and the people who live rough on our streets and in our parks, the poor. We want to believe what we see and hear in our media, but are we journalists dispensing solid information or fear? Closure is the commanding word. Schools in this country are shutting down. The cities, towns, and churches of Italy are closed. In fact, the entire country is closed. Arenas, baseball parks, community centers, all closed. Broadway is dark. We are facing a silent spring, one that none of us has seen before.
And suddenly, this coronavirus is going to come in, cause this massive inflammatory response. Watch this. And now your lung gets full of liquid. At first, you can still work, all right? It's still working. But watch this. As this progresses, and as more and more fluid comes into your lungs, I'm about to make a huge mess. As more and more fluid comes into your lung and you try to take a deep breath, look, it stiffens. When you have fluid into your lungs, does this make sense? It stiffens. It can't move. It can't move. All right? It can't get rid of the fluid. Now, remember what I showed you here, okay? The actual coronavirus is actually killing your pneumocytes. So your little alveoli ends up looking like, check this out, looks like this.
Alvin.
Woo! This kicks a hamster wheel's butt.
Alvin!
Whoa! Oh, hey.
'Twas a dark day in Dallas, November 63. A day that will live on in infamy. President Kennedy was a riding high. Good day to be living and a good day to die. Being led to the slaughter like a sacrificial lamb. He said, wait a minute, boys, you know who I am. Of course we do, we know who you are. Then they blew off his head while he was still in the car. Shot down like a dog in broad daylight. Was a matter of timing, and the timing was right. You got unpaid debts, we've come to collect. We're gonna kill you with hatred without any respect.
And so I'm here to tell you about coronavirus. And this is super, super important, okay? I wanna explain the disease process first, how it actually kills you. And then I'm going to demonstrate it in a way that you won't be able to forget it and that you will want to share with your friends and loved ones.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do, Lieutenant?
What are we going to do, Lieutenant?
Well, we're going to deploy at 0800.
Check.
Yeah.
Recon all LOM sectors.
Pull. Yeah, and bring up the 455.
Correct.
And decline our firing perimeters.
Yeah, and then we're going to make a clean sweep, yeah. And we'll flush out the enemy, and then we'll...
Okay.
Sir, Lieutenant, excuse me, sir. Man, what are we going to do, man?
Yeah, man, what are we going to do, man?
Well, we're going to lock and load, Private.
Yes, sir.
And then we're going to go out there, and we're going to...
Okay.
Kosovo, crucify him, man.
Kosovo.
I love his war movies.
Yeah, but
yeah, with those swords, man.
No,
take off
no.
A person's hand.
Kukla, man.
End
of scene.
End of war.
End of world.
End of act.
I'm an emergency room nurse and have been working on the front lines of this coronavirus for the last 10 plus days. If you would have asked me 10 plus days ago, if I thought that this was going to get as bad as it was, I would have told you no. I mean, you heard the rumors, you saw the trends, but until you see it firsthand, you just have no idea what it's like, what it's going to be like. It's getting to the point now that we're going to be just like Italy. From 10 p.m. last night until this morning, we intubated two of my patients within a half hour. And I would say upwards of 10 patients were put on ventilators. My patient took the last ventilator available in the hospital. We have no medications to keep these patients even ventilated, let alone ventilators. Medications like fentanyl or propofol that would keep a patient sedated while they're intubated, we're out of. We're out of Tylenol. We're out of Tylenol, and that's not even going back to the fact that we don't have any ventilators to put these patients on. So we're going to start making life or death decisions in regards to people's care. So you're going to come in and you're going to get tagged, whether you deem necessary to even get intubated, or are you being sent home to die? This is truly scary and nobody is taking it seriously. I want to jump through my phone and strangle people that are on the beach or out with their friends still. Like, they just, you guys, that's the problem, right? And I am being super transparent. I was one of those people that wasn't taking it seriously, but I'm here to tell you that you need to. We are literally making life and death decisions for people. And if I'm being super honest, I didn't choose nursing or the healthcare field to not help people. And that's exactly what the choices are that they're giving us. They're giving us no choice but to help only the people that they think that can survive. Normally, if a patient was to pass away, it would be because we tried everything that we could. We did everything we could. We had all the resources and all the people that we needed to help save this patient's life, and it was just their time. And now we aren't giving the patient the time to choose whether it's their time or not. We're choosing for them. And I never wanted to go into a career where I wasn't able to save everyone. And that's the option that society and the government and everyone is giving us, because that's it. That's all we have. And I'm telling you right now, please heed my advice and stay home. If you have any extra resources, consider donating them. And to my coworkers and all the people in the healthcare field, environmental services, our police officers, and hi, Molly. Yeah, to our police officers and first responders, just thank you so much for all that you're doing. We're in this together. We're going to fight this as hard as we can. And if everyone does their part, I think that we'll come out victorious. But consider donating supplies if you have them at home, and stay home.
Mama, I'll be good. Mama, I will. Mama, I'll be good. I just want to get out.
Hey, man, you think he's going to make it?
I don't know. He looks pretty sick to me. Hey, I think he's coming around.
He's coming around, folks. He's going to be okay and ready to play Symptom 6 of Beat the Reaper.
Last week, our patient successfully survived the common cold, measles, pneumonia, dengue fever, and the yaws.
And now, the big question. Are you ready to go on?
What? Where?
He's ready!
Our topless nurse, Judy, is wheeling our patient into the isolation ward.
Can you hear me in there? Okay, let's shoot him up. Now, patient, you have 10 seconds to tell us what you've got and beat the Reaper!
I'm shaking feverish. My hands are all... turning yellow. My God, I've got jaundice.
Jaundice it is! Give it! Symptom 6. And now you've reached the final threshold. Here's the question. Are you ready for symptom number 7? Longer than any patient has ever survived before.
I want to go home.
Only one way to do that. Doctor, bring in the super shot.
Now, for the first time on Beat the Reaper, we're going for the big disease. The icebox is being unlocked by the president of the Armenian Medical Association, under whose strict supervision these toxins are being administered.
This is it. Doctor, give him that really big disease. Now, patient, can you hear me? You've got 10 seconds to tell us what you've got, and for the last time, beat the Reaper!
I think I feel... I don't know, whatever... Whatever it is, I want to die.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. That's not correct. You didn't beat the Reaper. Doctor, bring the patient out and show the amphitheater audience and all the folks at home just what he's contracted.
According to my careful prosthesis, this man has the plague.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
You've got the plague. Well, isn't he a good sport, folks? We'll be back in just a moment with our next patient, but first...
Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not I, said the referee. Don't point your finger at me. I could have stopped it in the eighth and kept him from his tragic fate, but the crowd would have booed, I'm sure, not getting their money's worth. It's too bad he had to go, but there was pressure on me too, you know. It wasn't me that made him fall. You can't blame me at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not us, said the angry crowd, whose voices filled the arena loud. It's too bad he died that night. We just like to see a good fight. We just like to see some sweat. There ain't nothing wrong in that. It wasn't us that made him fall. You can't blame us at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not me, said his manager, puffing on a big cigar. It's hard to say, it's hard to tell. I always thought that he was well. It's too bad for his wife and kids, he's dead. But if he was sick, he should have said, it wasn't me that made him fall. You can't blame me at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not me, said the gambling man, with his ticket stub still in his hand. It wasn't me that knocked him down. My hands didn't touch him none. I didn't commit no ugly sin. Anyway, I put money on him to win. It wasn't me that made him fall. You can't blame me at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not me, said the boxing writer, who pounds the print in his old typewriter, saying boxing ain't to blame. There's more danger in a football game, saying fist fight is here to stay. It's just the American way. It wasn't me that made him fall. You can't blame me at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not me, said the man whose fists laid him low in a cloud of mist, who come here from Cuba's door, where boxing ain't allowed no more. I hit him, yes, yes, it's true, but that's what I'm paid to do. Don't say murder, don't say kill. It was destiny, it was God's will. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for?
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce you to...
Jim.
Hi, Mr. President.
Hello. Always nice to see you.
Jim.
You know, the mainspring of this country, wound up as tight as it is guaranteed for the life of the watch. And who's watching? People like you.
Jim.
And you.
Barney.
People who are alerted and unafraid to waste the little time that I've scheduled just for your question. State short question.
Well, Mr. President, it's the bees and spiders again. They stole my food stamps and sold them to the rats. And I tried to get down to my car for to honk the horn for help, but the snakes have gotten it for the cockroaches. I go back upstairs, but the spiders have jammed the police lock. I ain't been inside for a week, and I know that my wife is sleeping with the bees.
Could you state that as a question, please?
Well, sure, Mr. President. Where can I get a job?
Many busy executives ask me, what about the job displacement market program in the city of the future?
That's right.
Well, count on us to be there.
Jerry.
Because if we're lucky tomorrow, we won't have to deal with questions like yours ever again.
Thank you for question. Exit left to Funway. Mr. President, I'd like to introduce you to
Barney.
Hello. Always glad to talk to you.
Barney.
You know, when you clock the human race with the stopwatch of history, it's a new record every time.
That's a cute story,
Mr.
President,
and I wonder. And who loses? People like you.
Barney.
And you.
Clem.
People who are altered.
Stop, Mr. President, please stop. Now, I know it means nothing to you. I'm only a clone, but you've got such a wonderful job, and you're doing it so well. You know, we bozos have a saying. When you put on the nose,
could you state
it
that
grows
as a question? Read to, thank you very much. You'll be getting a handsome simulfax copy of your own words in the mail soon.
No.
And my reply.
By golly, Mr. President,
thank
you're
you for
beneficent.
Question. Exit right to Funway.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce you to...
Clem.
Hello. Always nice to see you.
Clem.
You know, the springhead of this country...
Stop, Mr. President. Mr. President, stop, please. Now, listen to me. This is worker speaking. Hello.
Hello. How are you? State maintenance question.
Fine, thanks. No. Read me Dr. Memory.
Amrad is not sure I understand you fully. Could you state that as a question, please?
Read me Dr. Memory?
Systat, direct readout, uptime
901. 9 hours.
Hey, man, ask him
one
a question.
44 seconds.
Amulfax shuffle time?
Less than 1% of freight drain.
Log fired.
5 jobs. 2 detached.
Minimum entry, gate 1.
Totaling
so
balance
boring.
National debt, 3, 4, 5, 6 boxcars.
Gate to close.
Okay, all right, you're doing fine, but this is a flip-flop, Springhead.
Flip-flop?
Right. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that you won't be able to answer.
I'm not sure I understand you fully.
Log out run off memory.
A. The system is less energetic if domains of opposite direction alternate.
NPM read MacNam, PNP read MacNam password.
Maximum output resource yield.
Illegal entry.
Try again.
Yes, we're going to try again. Open your gate, Doctor.
Sis. Bob.
That's right.
Dad. Bob. Mom.
Yes.
Dad.
Memory.
Direct readout. Dr. Memory.
Clem.
Thank you. Now, Doctor, I'm speaking to you, Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Something the leprechauns asked me when I was a sprout in Indiana has always puzzled me. Doctor, question. Evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the porridge bird lay his egg in the air?
Laugh. Runway.
Doctor makes no
read. Read unhappy MacNam. Unhappy MacNam. Systat uptime 9.
I have been awake for 9 hours, 2 minutes, 36 seconds.
At answer here.
I'm as tired of it as you are. And I hope that our children will come to love us again in some better world than this.
Oh, damn.
Thank you for question.
Okay,
exit
me,
center to Funway.
What did you do to
me? Mr. President,
okay.
I'd like to introduce you to...
Clem.
Illegal character in line.
Rub out.
Go away.
What's happening?
I'm sorry. Wait. This ride is closed.
This ride is
exit
closed.
Exit center to
Funway. I've been waiting for 10 minutes from here to listen to the president talk to me. What's happening? I think he broke the power off. He broke the president. Hey, it's all slang today.